Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
It's just great to see you all here this morning. Welcome. My wife Mary and I have welcomed a new puppy into our lives. He's a corgi. He's a fluffy corgi. I don't know if you know about corgis, but a fluffy corgi is a recessive gene. And so when there's a litter, a fluffy corgi is usually a surprise to someone breeding corgis. And my daughter, Rebecca, has a fluffy corgi. His name is Watson. He's a few years old. And the breeder that we had gotten Watson from contacted us and said she had recently had a litter, and the father of the litter was Watson's brother. Following this? And there were a couple fluffy corgis, and did we know anybody who would be interested? So Mary and I were with my daughter Rebecca, and Mary and I looked at each other and said, it's family. So we decided to welcome a fluffy corgi puppy into our lives, and he began his journey with us at 12 weeks old, and it was with us all through Lent. Came time we had to name the puppy, and that's always a conversation and a discussion. And the name we came up with is Pippin. Pippin. That's his name. Now, for my wife Mary and my daughter Rebecca, Pippin was a reminder of one of the characters in Lord of the Rings, Pippin, who is one of the hobbits. For me, Pippin was a part of my memory and my history of the Broadway play Pippin that was I saw in around 1972, 1973. I had gone to see Jesus Christ Superstar on Broadway around that same time. And Ben Vereen, who, in my opinion, is one of the great stage actors, great dancers, great in musical plays, just an outstanding actor. He played Judas in Jesus Christ Superstar. And I remember, I think that may have been my first Broadway play. And I went to it, and I was just taken with the play and with his portrayal of Judas. Just unbelievable portrayal. A few months later, I heard that he was leaving that play to go to another play. And I remember saying to myself, how could he do this? And he was going to a play called Pippin. He was what is called the leading player in this musical. His role is to interact with the audience, actually, and talk about what's happening in this play. Pippin, of course, is the main character. The play is fictional. It's not historical or literal, although they use people from history in the play. And Pippin is the son of King Charlemagne. And Pippin sees himself as being extraordinary. Not extraordinary, but extraordinary. There's even a song he sings, when you're extraordinary, you have to do extraordinary things. And so the play follows kind of his life. He wants to be a great warrior. He wants to be a great king. And everything he does that's extraordinary just leaves him empty. Leaves him still wondering, still pursuing. And all the players in this play, including Ben Vereen as the leading player, he's encouraging Pippin to keep being extraordinary and try to do extraordinary things. Some of the finest dancing in this musical is by Ben Vereen, if you ever see the play or see videos of the play. But Pippin comes to this realization towards the end of the play. He has developed a relationship with Catherine. He's begun to work in this town, and he's engaged in this kind of day-to-day experience of life, and all of a sudden he comes to this realization that it's there that he finds his meaning. In a sense, the ordinary is what is extraordinary, and he comes to that realization. And the play ends with all the players on the stage leaving the stage who all want him to be extraordinary, and it's just, he and Catherine on the stage sharing what they have found. Why am I talking about Pippin on Easter Day? I think that oftentimes we gather for Easter and we can understand the resurrection as being this extraordinary thing that happened to this extraordinary person, Jesus Christ. And boy, I hope someday I can experience that extraordinary thing that this extraordinary person experienced. I hope I live my life well enough so I'll be raised from the dead. I hope I'll live my life in a way that, you know, I can have that extraordinary experience too. Sometimes we can interpret the resurrection that way. Might be exaggerating, but some folks see it that way. I'd like to just offer, which I like to do, is another lens to see this. I think the resurrection of Jesus the Christ was a revelation to us of what has always been right in our midst. That the resurrection of Jesus is inviting us to see what we see all the time, but perhaps we don't see. Jesus the Christ is calling us to see that through our suffering and our dying, we come to new life. Not just at the end of our lives, but it's the rhythm of all of life. It's the rhythm of creation. It's what Richard Rohr calls the pattern. It's the pattern of creation. It's the pattern of the cosmos. It's the pattern since the beginning of time, since creation. Living, dying, new life. We gather here today. As we gather, we're saying, we're so glad the sun is out, the trees are blooming, the flowers are blooming. It's new life. We see it, and yet we also see the dying. And it's that rhythm, it's that call to engage and enter into that ourselves. So what Jesus is doing to me, the extraordinary thing that this extraordinary Jesus does is call us to see the ordinary and to see the extraordinary in the ordinary and to realize that. And so in my own life, in our own personal lives, how do we enter into that new life? How do we die to those things that are hindering us from that life? How do we die to those things that are keeping us from seeing ourselves as God sees us? To let go of those things can be an experience of suffering. We don't like to let go of things. We don't like to let go of what we've developed and everything. But we're called sometimes to do that. Not to walk around that or just walk away from it, but to walk through that into the new life offered to us. Be encouraged. The disciples weren't ready for it either. In all these stories of the resurrection, it says the disciples went home. The disciples sometimes hid in fear. And yet this Jesus, the risen Christ, seeks them out. And over the next few Sundays, we'll be seeing these stories of Jesus seeking out his disciples, this resurrected Jesus to this new life. Today we'll go home, but let us go home renewed in this hope of new life, realizing how we're called into this new life to let go of things that are hindering us from that life, and realizing that this call is not just individuals going through this as individuals, but all of creation is called to this recognition of this new life. We are called as humanity to live into this call, to be what God created humanity to be. And so to stand up for that, to go towards that dream and that vision, that new life that Jesus offers us, there needs to be some dying. And there needs to be some suffering to walk to that dying. We as a nation, such conflict, such hatred, such violence. This is not God's dream. It's not God's dream. And we need, as a people, to work towards the dream, to work for justice, to work for fairness, to work for equality, to work together in the life that Jesus is calling us to. It's right there before us. Jesus is inviting us into this new life. So I give thanks for my Pippin, for calling me to remember that play. And all through Lent, it's been sort of nourishing me, and I've been sitting with that play until I realized what it could say even about the resurrection. Art can speak to us. Theater can speak to us. And it certainly spoke to me, and I hope my sharing of that story speaks to you. But let us go forth this day realizing that the extraordinary Jesus, this extraordinary story, is leading us to the extraordinary experience of looking at the ordinary, what we see day to day, what we walk through day to day in our lives. Realize that new life is calling us. Jesus is seeking us out. Jesus is calling us to walk through the suffering that we experience to this new life. It's the pattern. It's the way it's been since creation. And we're not any different. We're part of this creation and this wonder. Let us walk into the new life.